The writer and veterinarian James Herriot wrote a series of beloved books about his adventures as a vet in Yorkshire beginning in the 1930s. They were adapted with great success into a series called All Creatures Great and Small. It ran on the BBC as well as on PBS. The series was very beloved among public television viewers, including, incidentally, my own parents, which is why I watched these when I was young. And now there's a new take. It's airing on PBS, and it features a whole new cast in the story of young James the vet, his boss Siegfried, Siegfried's brother Tristan, and a lot of other characters Herriot aficionados know and love. I'm Linda Holmes, and today we're talking about All Creatures Great and Small on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
Hey, my name is Peter Sagal, and I am here to help you with the most pressing problem facing civilization today. There are too many good podcasts to listen to. Now, why not avoid that whole problem by listening to an extremely silly podcast hosted by me? On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, it's wisecracks about the week's news, shenanigans, fart jokes, and general silliness. And doesn't that sound pretty great right now? Listen to the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me podcast from NPR.
Welcome back. Joining us today from Los Angeles is Jesse Thorne, the host of Bullseye on NPR. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
It's good. It's always so lovely when we get a chance to have you here. And of course, I had to have you here because I know as soon as we started talking about doing this, we said, Jesse is the guy we know who loves All Creatures Great and Small, right?
I like that my areas of expertise where it's like important enough to bring me all the way in from Los Angeles are exclusively based on public television shows from 1985.
It's true. It's we get you for the Antiques Roadshow and for the All Creatures Great and Small show.
Yeah.
As we said in the intro, there has already been this successful TV adaptation, which Jesse loves and which my family loved. It ran on the BBC and on PBS. That series had one run of episodes in the late 1970s, another in the late 1980s. Here, Nicholas Ralph picks up the role of James Herriot. Samuel West is Siegfried. Callum Woodhouse is Tristan. And Anna Madeley is the housekeeper, Mrs. Hall. TV enthusiasts will also be happy to spot Diana Rigg as Mrs. Pumphrey, who owns the notorious little dog called Tricky Woo. I loved Tricky Woo. Here's the funny thing. I had forgotten all about Tricky Woo. Yeah. And then I was watching it and they called the dog Tricky Woo. And I was like, Tricky Woo! I remember that dog.
Tricky Woo. We stan a legend.
It's true. We do. Jesse, I was curious about whether you would feel that your mind could be open to a new All Creatures Great and Small, given your existing love of the existing All Creatures Great and Small.
They announced this show in the trades maybe about a year ago. And since then, I have been in a state of heightened anxiety, which I attribute exclusively to the possibility that they would mess up All Creatures Great and Small.
Yes, our producer Mike Katzeff calls this feeling anticipation.
Yeah, I mean, I love the show, the original show, which I watched some as a kid on PBS and much of on the DVD box set that I definitely actually own. Mm-hmm. It was also on Netflix for a little while. And I have read several of the books, which I picked up after coming to love the show. And I definitely was worried that they would mess it up. And I definitely think they have messed some things up. But in general, I really like it.
Let's cut right to the chase. What'd they mess up?
Well, I think for one thing, it would be impossible to replace the extraordinary cast of the original show. I think the original show's greatest strength is that its lead actors, particularly the three dudes who are at the center of these stories, the three veterinarians, each of those actors is just spectacularly good. And everyone on the new show is also good. I want to make that point clear. But it would be like trying to cast a new cast for Cheers or something like that. Mm-hmm. It kind of doesn't matter how good the new people are, but they've done a great job of that. I think if I were going to introduce a question of what have they done that works less well for me on the new version of the show, it is this. The stories, which are reflected very directly in the original show, and slightly less directly in the new show, are anecdotal in nature.
Yes.
The books themselves are completely anecdotal. Each chapter does not follow from the previous. It's really just little reminiscences of a time he went to a farm and, you know, pulling over to the side of the road and sitting there with his dog for a few minutes. I think that that plus the milieu, which is a kind of world that is both in transition and in a way out of time, and a world that is literally pastoral, that it is a world of farms, mean that one of the greatest gifts of the show and of these stories is that they live in a sort of everlasting now. That, like I said, is both poised at this change of the world that came with modernity and World War II, and is sort of timeless. Like, Linda, I know you're a baseball fan. I was listening to a favorite baseball podcast the other day, and this writer named Cliff Corcoran made this point that one of the things that he loves about baseball is that the rhythm of it is always the same and it renews every year, right? You know, it reflects the passing of the seasons. And these farmers are livestock farmers, so it is the lives of these animals that set that cycle. Each year is the same because each year you plant the crops and reap the rewards. Each year there's lambing season. But it is that living out of time that is special about the show. And there's a couple of big narrative themes in the show, but mostly it is a non-narrative set of stories. And I think in this new version, they made a more conventional television show.
Well, I think they made a more conventional television show for now, right? I think the funny thing is, you know, when you say anecdotal, I think that's the exact right word, particularly in the context of these books and the original show. But it also would apply to, you know, particularly comedies that were very, very episodic. You know, only in very slight ways did like what happened on one episode of Cheers affect what happened on other episodes of Cheers. Even in comedy now, you have this move to things that have, you know, more longer arcs. So in a way, an episodic show was more what television was like in the late 1970s and again in the late 1980s. And a more serialized show is what television is like now. So it does make some sense to me that they went back and kind of approached this differently. Like, how would it work as more of a character piece and less of an episodic anecdotal piece? I really responded to the kind of found family story of the three men living with the housekeeper, Mrs. Hall, who is a character who I think... And the people who made the show have talked about this a little bit, that they built out both that character and the character of Helen, who, you know, I mean, look, eventually will be James Herriot's partner. They built out the two women, which I think helps to kind of make the world feel a little bit bigger and a little bit richer. And it prevents it from having one of the things that can happen in ensembles, which is like, you know, the central dudes and then kind of the orbiting women or other people, right? I appreciated the fact that they built it out at least a little bit, and also that the dynamics between the characters, and this in a way is what you're saying you didn't need from an All Creatures Great and Small adaptation, which I totally get, but sort of the development of the dynamic between, you know, what is this brotherly relationship between Siegfried and Tristan, and how is it kind of shot through with these ideas of disappointment and mentorship and the relationship between Siegfried and James as well, you know, the desire to please people, the desire to have the people who you respect like your work. I like it as that kind of family story. And I also like any TV show where it really seems to care about people's work, because that doesn't happen as often as I wish it did. So often you'll get these kind of like, it's set in publishing world or magazine world or something like that, but the show won't seem to care that much about work. I think I like the fact that in this show, animals are adjacent to everything that the people in this community do. Yes, they're pets like Tricky Woo, but they're also, you know, the livelihood of people who work on farms. And I think it does a good job of kind of addressing the animals of the local community.
You know this about me probably, Linda, because we are real life friends, but I actually don't like dramatic television very much. And I don't want to paint with too broad a brush. There are exceptions. And, you know, if I had to design a television show that I wanted to watch that was dramatic, I would say I want to watch television shows that are like Mike Lee movies.
Yes.
And what happens in Mike Lee movies is people who are recognizably human deal with recognizably human problems in a recognizably human way. And the stakes come from the fact that our lives are important to us, and seeing our lives reflected on screen is important to us. And they're not dull, and they're often funny, but the stakes don't come from someone stabbing someone, and the stakes don't even come from some kind of personal transformation that happens because someone saved the cat and there's a ticking clock, mm-hmm. and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right. I have had the same frustrations with dramatic television, particularly the era of prestige television, right? People have talked a lot, and rightly so, about the fact that it's been very narrow in the sense of, you know, who is represented. You get a lot of stories about middle-aged white dudes who are demographically similar, not only to people who make television, but a lot of people who traditionally wrote about television. Yeah. I share your sense that, like, I come to a point where I'm like, surely there are dramatic conflicts that are about something besides, is this guy 49% monster or 51% monster? Let's go back and forth about that for six seasons. And one of the reasons why this show was so welcome to me is that it's somebody who watches a lot of serialized dramatic television for work. I do have those moments where I'm like, oh, nobody's going to do horrible things to each other. And yet you do have some pretty complicated personal relationships that are going on among this setting where, I'll tell you, you know, Harriet, the character of James Harriet, falls asleep on the bus after leaving home in a sequence that I also thought was very charming. And when he opens his eyes, he's in the Dales, essentially, in Yorkshire. And you see these hills. And I just felt all of, like, the cortisol and stress hormones just, like, drain out of me. I felt my shoulders drop. It was like, oh, I so appreciate this coming along at this particular moment. And it's probably easier for me because I wasn't super attached to the original show. As I mentioned in the intro, my attachment to the original show is largely, this was something my parents watched. So I didn't have that strong enough recollections of it to prevent me from basically just looking at it and being like, oh, dogs, horses, cows, people who are all basically nice and decent, I will take it.
Yeah. And again, I really liked this show. But one of the special things about the books and the original television show is the extent to which the view is through the eyes of James Harriet. So James Harriet was coming from Edinburgh, Scotland, to Yorkshire. Yorkshire is a very insular world, and he is literally a foreigner, right? So he is a classic writer-observer, right? Like, he is in this world and has immense respect for it, but he is also not of the world. Mm-hmm. That is what that opening scene is, where he's standing in a giant field and he doesn't know where he's supposed to go, right? Like, right. That made literal, right? And that is the reason that in the original television show and in the books, the characters besides Harriet are essentially orbiting Harriet or ancillary, right, or a collection of charming qualities. Mm-hmm. I think it was reasonable to expand that. And especially as you identified, you know, there are two women in the primary cast of characters, and Helen, his wife-to-be, in the books and in the original television show, was mostly a charming avatar for lovingness.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Hall, their housekeeper, was essentially a funny way to help us understand how the family works.
Right.
You know, yes. And why the family works, right? And the fact that they have expanded those characters to varying degrees of success, I think, is a good goal that they did a pretty good job of. But a big piece of that, with them and with the other veterinarians on the show, is just kind of saying to each other what their motivations are.
Yeah, I got that.
That said, the woman who plays Helen, whose name is Rachel Shenton, and I had not seen anything, though she's done a fair amount of British television.
Yeah, I don't think I had either.
She is asked to fill out her character essentially by, you know, they show her as the protagonist of her own farm much more than they do you know, in the stories, because James didn't really know her in that capacity all that much. You know, right. He wasn't there, and more than they did in the old television show. And Rachel Shenton pulls off something that I think is really remarkable, which is that she is a wonderful romantic lead. And she is also very credibly tough and earthy enough to be believable as, you know, she's essentially a matriarch on her farm because her mother is dead and she has a younger sister. And she looks like she's worn overalls before, which in 1930s England, by the way, is that's something that the real Helen really did.
Yes.
And was a big deal. She was the first trouser wearing woman in their town.
Yeah. It's definitely true that to some degree she is defined as a character as like wears pants, which seems like it wouldn't be a character description, but it sort of is a character description.
Yeah. I interviewed the guy who show ran the show, and it will be on Bullseye in a few weeks. And one of the things he said is Alf's children, Alf being the real name of James Harriet, his children were consultants on the show and very deeply engaged in the show. And one of the reasons was because they wanted to reflect who these people were as human beings in a way that James Harriet wouldn't be able to in a series of books that are very much from his, through his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have real human qualities.
Yeah.
Everybody's great, but like there is a part of me that wishes it lived in this perfect world away from time and there was no narrative arc at all other than enormous major life things.
Yeah, I get that. I definitely appreciated the moments when you did dip away for like the adventures of who gave the rich food to Tricky Woo. <It's> like, sure. That's about the stakes I'm in the mood for in January 2021. Well, you can find the episodes of All Creatures Great and Small are currently sort of rolling out once a week on PBS, or if you have PBS Passport, which you can get if you give to your PBS station, then you can watch all of it now. Let us know what you think. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. Jesse, I appreciate so much your being here. Jesse, in addition to Bullseye, where he does wonderful interviews of creative and awesome people, you can also find Jesse on the podcast Jordan Jesse Go or as the bailiff on Judge John Hodgman. Am I forgetting anything, Jesse?
I mean, I have a lot of jobs, Linda, but you've listed plenty of them. I have on Bullseye coming up Ben Vanstone, who is the creator of this new version of All Creatures Great and Small. Really interesting guy. I talked to him from England. We also have Ted Danson, who you might have heard of.
What?
And the creator of one of my favorite new television shows, John Wilson, who created the beautiful and hilarious show How To with John Wilson that's on HBO Max right now. And he is a really, really fascinating guy.
Indeed. I will take it. All right. Well, you can check out all of Jesse's stuff. I strongly recommend all of it. And we are always happy to have him here with us. Thank you, buddy, for talking to me about this show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, subscribe to our newsletter. It's over at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. And we will see you all tomorrow when we will talk about the new Netflix series, Lupin.